things of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Thank the Lord for what he's going to again reveal tonight. Praise his name. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we grow by your word. Faith comes by hearing this word. And Lord, we thank you that your word is also setting the captives free. We thank you tonight for the purity of your word, that we can draw faith from it and mix that faith, that we can be not only hearers but doers of this word. So Lord, we thank you tonight. Our great desire is that Jesus is exalted and lifted up in our midst. So we thank you now, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Well, I have a title for our teaching this evening. I'm not sure whether there might be several of these teachings, but anyway, I will start this evening on this. And the title for our teaching tonight, The Ultimate Purpose of the Church. The Ultimate Purpose of the Church. And I want to open up this evening with regard to the church, with regard to our assembling together and FGA and all those that God is calling in these last days for the overcoming walk, for the bride that's making herself ready. We're going to look at the ultimate purpose of the church. And I trust that these teachings will really bring home to us what the church is, its purpose, its aim, why it is we come together, why we are drawn together in unity, oneness, baptized by the Spirit into this, into the body of Christ. We need to really get this firmly fixed within us to understand why it is we meet and come together. So, as I'm saying tonight, the teaching for this is the ultimate purpose of the church. Now, to simply say Christ came to save sinners and establish his church and a gathering of people. Yes, I am recording. Doesn't tell us the ultimate purpose of the church. It's not enough. It's not enough to simply say that Christ came to save sinners, to establish his church upon the rock. It doesn't tell us the ultimate purpose of the church. That is the problem. That is the problem with its message, if that's all it's reduced to. And we're going to look at this because sadly, a lot of churches, denominations, that's all they reduce the teaching of the church to, which generally is their denomination, their organization. But we're going to show in these teachings that it's far, far greater and bigger than that. You see, to hold that like we in FGA are just redeemed, that we're just in fellowship, that we're called to walk by faith, it doesn't reveal the actual ultimate purpose. If all you are seeing FGA as just you are redeemed, your sins dealt with by the blood of the Lamb, you're now baptized into fellowship, you are being taught to totally walk by faith, it doesn't reveal the ultimate purpose of this assembly, this church, and others that God is working with in these last days. Now, that might take some of you by surprise or shock, but we're going to open the scriptures to see that it's got to be much, much more than this. And firstly, with regard to this, Christ's mission into the world, as we know, is our commission. I'll give this again. Christ's mission into the world is our commission. We are to be, if you like, a continuation of Jesus' ministry. So as we look at the scripture now in John 20 and verse 21, we see very clearly, even though Jesus said, I am going away, I'm going to leave you, that's what he said to the disciples, the work was not finished. It was not going to end there. It was to continue to go on, which Christ had started, established. And we see this clearly in the Gospel of John 20 and verse 21. John 20 and verse 21. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. So the same calling that was on Jesus, that same anointing, that same faith, that prayer life, everything that was on Jesus, he said, I also send you as well. With that same anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, this might be mind-boggling. This may be something that you've not comprehended or thought about, but that is what he says. And not only that, it's what you should believe for and expect. And I think if we start to grasp this and start to believe for this and even pray for this and fast for this, we're going to see great changes in FGA, which is needed. So there we are. He says very clearly that Christ's mission in the world is our commission. It is a continuation of his ministry. Simply because he's gone to the Father, he sits on the right hand of the Father, he has sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to continue his ministry on earth by using you and I as empty vessels to fulfill that. That is why we preach the deeper life. That is why we hold to it. It's because of that, which he says clearly in John 20, verse 21. And the second thought and aspect to this to consider is, what was Christ's mission? What was his mission on the earth? Well, these are some of the statements that you'll probably get if you ask that question. And maybe if somebody asks you this question, this is probably what you are going to say. And you'll probably say something like this, well, he came to save. He came to save me. He came to save my household or whatever it is. Or he came to reveal the Father, to bring us back to the Father. Or you might hear, he came to fulfill the law of the prophets. That's another one that you will probably will hear. Or you may hear how to live a good and righteous and holy life. That's another one that is quite popular amongst certainly evangelicals. Or he came to reveal the truth, and the truth was revealed through Jesus Christ being light of the world. Or another view could be to seek and save the lost. Some may hold to the fact he came to save Israel. Now, the irony of all of this is that these all have truth. They're not heresy. There is truth to that, but it doesn't embrace Christ's central mission and purpose. That's the problem. They all have truth, and they're all to be found in Scripture, but it is not telling us about Christ's ministry to continue on the earth, which he started, which is the church is to emulate, to continue to walk, that is to walk in his shoes. It doesn't tell us enough. You see, if we're not sure, then we cannot fulfill his ultimate purpose. And this is the problem. This is why churches, denominations are weak in their testimony, in their power. And sadly, at times, it even goes on with us in FGA, because it's not understanding the ultimate purpose. The problem is we have today is that we're saving souls and simply establishing churches. And that is true, and yes, that is to be fulfilled, but it still doesn't embrace the whole vision, the whole purpose of the church, her function, her ministry. It just isn't big enough. And that may take us all by surprise. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. Do not think that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. There we are. I already mentioned that, and that tells us the nature of his mission. It was to fulfill the law, the demands of the law. Remember, Israel couldn't keep it. Christ was the only one who could fulfill the demands of the law, and that's why we're now a saved, redeemed people. God looks at us also through Christ, having kept the law, not breaking it. But Jesus also reveals his purpose, and we see this in Luke 16 and verse 16. Luke 16, 16. Remember, we're dealing with the question tonight, the ultimate purpose of the church. Luke 16 and verse 16. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. Now we're beginning to get some understanding what the higher purpose is. You see, the concept of the church, its preaching and teaching, has to be much larger than your assembly, your gathering together, denominations, organizations. It's got to be much, much larger than that. Now, do you remember the prayer that the Lord gave the disciples because they asked how to pray? In it, it was, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It's a proclamation of the kingdom of God, which is to be established on the earth, and it will be. And most churches have lost sight of all of this. The proclamation of the kingdom involves salvation, involves the establishment of a church, a local body, involves preaching and teaching, involves fellowship, involves healing and deliverance. They are the signs of the kingdom. That's what pertains to the kingdom. That is what is in the kingdom. And anything other than that will not embrace the full teaching, the full gospel. The full gospel of God's word is being taught the kingdom of God. And we really do need to understand this one and experience this. You see, it embraces the Old Testament and the New Testament. When we begin to embrace the kingdom of God, because the old and the new are found in it. All the redeemed, all those who have gone before, all our forefathers, all the patriarchs, they're all there now in the kingdom, in glory, waiting there, waiting for it to be fully established. That's why we're there by faith. That is why it says that we are already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above every power, principality, and dominion. Our fellowship has to be first there in heaven, where the kingdom will be established. Our names have to be there. Our calling from the foundation of the world has to be there. Everything that is inspired, given to us by the Holy Spirit, revelation, understanding of God's word, has to be established first in heaven, in the kingdom that will soon be established on the earth. There are not denominations in the kingdom of God. There is not a Baptist, a Methodist, an Anglican or whatever in the kingdom of God. Only redeemed saints who are washed by the blood of the Lamb. Only the true body of Christ that stands upon the rock of Jesus Christ. That is what is established there. There's nothing else there. If it doesn't represent in heaven and on earth, then you build everything on sand. The rock of Jesus Christ is established in heaven. It is the only rock. It is the only church. This is why we're called out from among them and to be separate and touch not the unclean thing. There's so much that is unclean. It's unclean because it's not established in heaven. Your salvation has to be established in heaven. Everything that God does comes from heaven down to earth, down to man, through the ministry and work of the Holy Spirit. If it's not in heaven, it won't be done on earth. And this is where it all goes wrong. And this is, of course, where the enemy gets in, comes in like an angel of light, and lets them all think that they're going on and they're all going to make it into glory. And indeed, I hope they do. But unless it's established in heaven, it will never stand. Because it's otherwise built upon sand. And it will only take the storms and the seas to come in, and it'll all be washed away. And so the kingdom message, the kingdom of God, embraces both Old Testament and the New. The reign and rule of God on the earth, as it is in heaven, was God's purpose. We see God's purpose and his call of Abraham. This was an establishment through Abraham, through faith being redeemed, that out of this Israel as a nation was chosen. And from that, the advent of Jesus Christ, to come and rule and reign. All of this is revealing the kingdom of God to man. You see, when we grasp and learn that he came to establish a kingdom of righteousness on the earth, then we begin to understand his purpose and why he came. His purpose is to eventually establish his kingdom, which will consist of redeemed, blood-washed saints. There will those redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And when we begin to see this, then we know the purpose of our salvation, their salvation, all those that have gone before us, all those under the old covenant, and even the establishment of the church. It's all pointing towards the kingdom of God being established upon the earth. Any message that does not embrace the kingdom of God does not reach God's ultimate purpose for these last days. Make no two bones about it. And this is why we always adhere to that in our meetings, in the church, that is those who are under the fivefold ministry, those who are under the banner of the blood of the Lamb. I'm not talking about a denomination. All those that have been called out, baptized into the church, the local assembly of believers, here we find the church is within the kingdom, its message, its teaching. So it's not the establishment, it's not the message of your church or the message of FGA, it is the message of the kingdom of God, and FGA and other assemblies likewise are found within the kingdom, its message, its teaching. And we have to remember that. That's how it has to be presented. Otherwise, you will present an organization. You will present something that man makes. And my goodness, we have enough of that around in the world. No, our fellowship, our unity, our oneness is found within the kingdom, its preaching, its teaching. In other words, the people. And this is why the church is a living organism and not an organization. And this is why we come together and we worship God in spirit and in truth. We come in unity. We come knowing that the Holy Spirit has placed us into the body to function in our ministry. We know that there are also teaching ministries. We know that God has said in Ephesians 4, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. But we're all one, we're all the same, and we're all equal at the level of the foot of the cross. And no one lords it over anyone else. There's no such thing as laity and clergy. These are all man-made ministries and sayings. You cannot find that in the New Testament church, in the book of Acts. We're all called a royal priesthood. We're all called saints. We're all called to minister and function as the Holy Spirit leads and guides and anoints. But we're to proclaim the kingdom. Now, I believe as we're being prepared in these closing days, that God is going to graciously reveal the kingdom. Because what I believe we are waiting for and we have need of experience is the power that is pertained to the kingdom. The power to see deliverance, healings, yes, even the dead raised. All of those things that Jesus ministered, he said you continue to do likewise. We've already read this to you back in John 20:21. But I believe that God will, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, there will come in these last days also an anointing demonstrating the power that pertains to his kingdom. Because it can't be achieved then otherwise. And this is why he set and is setting the gifts into the church. That's why some of you have gifts of healing or gifts of miracles and other gifts. There's 9 gifts that we know that are there, set in the church. And so as we proclaim this, and as we go about and as we see these healings and we lay hands on the sick, this will be revealing God's kingdom. This will be revealing that our church and others are in the kingdom spiritually by faith already. You see, God gave this to the saints. And he's going to give it to us in these last days. It's very interesting also that John the Baptist and Jesus himself in turn commissioned the apostles as well as the church with the same message to go and proclaim the kingdom. Let's turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8. Acts 8 and verse 12. Acts 8 and verse 12. But when they believed, Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Well, where did he get that from? He got that as a revelation. He got that through the teaching. That's what he knew he was to preach. How many evangelists do you find today preach the kingdom of God? Not many. Because they don't see it. They don't understand it. Our eyes and ears and hearts have to be opened to see this. Let's look at verse 25 of the same chapter. So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. That's what they were doing. They also were coming back preaching the kingdom of God. That's the mission. It's interesting, in the New Testament, Jesus refers to his church twice, and the kingdom of God over 100 times. I'll give that to you again. It's interesting that Jesus in his ministry, he refers to his church twice and the kingdom of God over 100 times. Now that is telling us something, is it not? And after Christ's death and resurrection, his teachings still didn't change. For example, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. To whom he also presented himself alive after his sufferings by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, as speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Everything he was revealing and showing, his purpose, why he came, was pertaining to the kingdom of God. This is why the children of Israel rejected their Messiah. Jesus came to establish his kingdom. And it was through the rejection of their Messiah that we know that we now are grafted in. And so the kingdom, its establishment on the earth, is temporarily put to one side. But it will be fulfilled, and it's soon to be established. So we begin to see, don't we, that this is far greater and bigger than what we think or imagine. Our lives can be so centered about ourselves and our church and our fellowship and, yes, problems at times or whatever it is, but this is infinitely greater and bigger. And you can only change and embrace this, brothers and sisters, when you start to pray and intercede and take this away and seek God over this, so that you can be used, so that you can continue to fulfill Christ's ministry on earth, which is our great commission. And when you embrace the kingdom and you see it for what it is, then you will see it also consists of saving souls, bringing them into the body of Christ, healing them, delivering them, because you've embraced the bigness of the kingdom of God and what follows and what is established in that kingdom. That's the whole point. We know the Apostle Paul, that was his teaching. All the early church, the disciples, that's what they taught. The people that went out to share, that is what they taught. They didn't have denominations. They didn't have a church that was divided and separated. Oh, it soon began to happen, we know. Sadly, the enemy began to get in. The loss of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But at that time, they didn't know anything else. And that is what's being restored back to us, brothers and sisters. And this is why we're in the times of restoration. We're in the times of restoration where we're getting out of our vocabulary, our thinking, our mind, denominationalism. Because we've been delivered from it. We're getting out of our mind even just looking at this church, but seeing that this church is within the kingdom of God, and therefore our message, our proclamation, our mission is far bigger and greater. Now again, only the Holy Spirit can enlighten this. And if we don't want him to show us and teach us this, then all you've learnt tonight is just simply a teaching, and it ends up as just being theology and eventually put on the shelf, gathering dust. That's not what our gatherings are about, brothers and sisters. Far bigger and greater than this. This is why our lives have to be also a life of prayer. Because as we take of this life, we take of this word, we take it, we pray on it, we ask the Lord to open our understanding, our eyes, our experience. This is how we're going to grow, brothers and sisters. It mustn't be left to just one or two that do this, but the whole church. And this is why God speaks to us in the manner that he does. Well, the ultimate purpose of the church. That's the question we've been looking at this evening and started to answer. And we have got to realize that Christ's mission in the world is our commission. We are a continuation of his ministry. And I'm just going to read again in John 20 and verse 21. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you." There are many who are sent, but what is their teaching? What is the proclamation? What is it they're presenting? We present Christ's kingdom, for he's head over it. And when we present him and his kingdom, that is the power of the kingdom of God being established on the earth. Heavenly Father, we bless you again tonight. We thank you for this teaching. We thank you, Father, that we know flesh and blood cannot reveal these things, as you so constantly show us and tell us that this can only come as you reveal these things to us, as you open our eyes and ears. Father, may we all enter into the experience of this word. We long to see your name glorified. We long to see saints wonderfully converted, those in the highways and the byways, in the gutters, new lives being changed and restored. But not only that, Lord, to see the sick healed, to see the oppressed delivered. Father, it's what we're trained for. It's what we're destined for. It's what we believe. We cannot accept anything less than that. And you are putting your love within our hearts to be able to embrace all of that, Father. But may we never, ever limit our preaching, our sharing, our teaching. That the ultimate is that the kingdom of God will soon be established on the earth. And it is that kingdom that we look to, Father. We no longer look to this world. We're just merely sojourners passing through. But we look to a future kingdom, because we're there by faith already, with all the saints, with the Lord Jesus himself. Lord, that is what we desire. That is what we desire, to be established upon the earth. And you are coming soon, Lord, to do this. But we know there are forerunners. We know there are types of John the Baptist who are going before and preparing the way. And that is through the overcomers, through the deeper life. Father, may we fulfill this. For your glory we ask, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Let him in constancy follow the master. There's no discouragement shall